السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I just need a confirmation for the classroom. Is that set up from the brothers who are involved in that?
وعليكم السلام. Yes, it's set up.
It's set
So
up, right? Are we
whenever
ready
you're
to
ready.
start? Can we
Yeah,
start
whenever
now?
you're ready. Yeah, whenever you're ready, inshallah.
Okay. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الذي جعل ذكره طمأنينة للقلوب وجلاء لها عن رين الذنوب ومطردة لوسواس الخناس المكذوب، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد الداعي إلى كل فعل محبوب وأمر مطلوب، وعلى آله وأصحابه المقتفين سبيله على خير أسلوب. أما بعد، فيقول رب تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المنزل، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا وزينتها نوفي إليهم أعمالهم فيها وهم فيها لا يبخسون. أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار، وحبط ما صنعوا فيها وباطل ما كانوا يعملون. الله سبحانه وتعالى says, whosoever desires only the life of this world and its adornment, we will fully repay them for their deeds in it, but they will not, and they will not be deprived of anything in it. And those are the ones whom there is, for them there is nothing in the akhirah, and lost is what they did therein in the earth. Worthless is what they used to do. In another verse he says, قُلْ هَلْ نُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعًا. Say, O Muhammad, shall we, the believers, shall we not inform you of the greatest kind of losers, the greatest losers in this world, as in regard to their deeds, the greatest types of losers, أَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. They are those, الَّذِينَ ضَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. They are those whose efforts is lost in the worldly life, in the worldly pursuit, while they think that they are doing well. And this is the problem. While they think that they are doing well, deceived by the world. So, brothers and sisters, welcome to our third term of lectures, which we are starting 3 weeks late because of illness, and I'm sorry about that, the delay. But alhamdulillah, today we can continue with lecture number 17. Yeah, I think it is. Yes, lecture number 17. And in this series, in which we are reflecting on Imam Ghazali's teachings on sincerity, intentions, and verbal habits. Now, in last term, we covered a wide range of topics, many that were directly related to the core subject, which is Ikhlas, and others that were tangentially related, but nonetheless useful in the fortification of our Iman and our practice of Islam. We dealt with topics that included discussions on curing the hidden shirk, discussion on sincerity and truth, discussion on the way language influences our perception. And we provided you also with a survival toolkit for postmodernist philosophy, which is, of course, the dominant philosophy in our age. And we reflected on the tragedies of religious reformations in Europe. And we also had a lengthy discussion on the need for sincerity to be rooted in love, the need for a relationship of love with our creator, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the need to recognize that he, Allah, above all, is most deserving of our love. Now, in the final session last term, we focused on using our knowledge and our understanding of the five reasons for love to configure our heart towards divine love. Using we looked at the five reasons for love, and we looked at how we should configure those in our hearts to foster divine love, the love for Allah. And in that, we pondered on 5 points. The first was that our first experience of pure love comes from the context of the parent-child relations. The parent-child relationship is our first experience of pure love. Parental love is well understood to be the most powerful, or one of the most powerful forces in nature. The parental instincts for the well-being and the protection of a child is one of the purest expressions of love, and it is so because it is a special gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is essential for our survival. Human infants are not like animals. They're not like animal infants that get up and start to walk around and can feed themselves in a few hours after being born. Allah has made us utterly dependent on our parents for years after being born. And that support, that dependency, is dependent on divine mercy. It's a dependency that is fulfilled through a divine mercy that finds expression in the hearts, in the parents, in the form of parental love. It is a love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plants in the hearts of parents. And he says, as we are told in hadith, أَنْزَلَ فِي الدُّنْيَا رَحْمَةً وَاحِدَةً بَيْنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ وَالْهَوَامِ فَبِهَا يَتَعَاطَفُونَ. That this mercy that he has caused to descend into the earth is distributed among the jinn and human beings and animals and insects. So, and with that one mercy, فَبِهَا يَتَعَاطَفُونَ. With that one mercy that we all share, we express love and kindness and affection to one another. This is the fitrah, the natural path on the course. And this is not to say that sometimes, you know, if we are ungrateful, or we fail to prevent the heart from getting hard or encrusted, then even parents can lose this gift of parental love. We should not be taken for granted. Once a harsh Bedouin man saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing his grandson, and he said to him, "Awatakabbiluna abna'akum? Do you kiss your children? Your children? I have 10, and I've never kissed any of them." And in that, he sought to display a sort of macho personality and something to be praised in Jahiliyyah that used to be praised. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's response was, "What can I do for you if Allah has taken the mercy out of your heart?" So the love that we experience from our parents is a gift from Allah. It is a gift, and that can be lost. And when it does, then we find parents mistreating their children, and even worse, putting the newborn babies in shoeboxes and leaving them on the roadside. So the point was to recognize that the source of parental love is Allah. It comes from Allah, and we should, both as children and as parents, recognize it as such and be eternally grateful in our heart whenever we experience or benefit from that love. So that was the first point. The second was that we need to develop a habit of connecting two words in our minds. Do you remember what those two words were? The words were ni'ma and mun'im. Ni'ma is what we receive from Allah in terms of favor, the bounties, the major gifts, the subtle kindness, the assistance, the sustenance, the grace, the mercies, the love. These are all ni'm. They're all, and the plural is ni'ma. Ni'm is the plural for ni'ma. And mun'im is the provider of those favors and the gift, the giver of the favor, the giver of the gift. These are in the meaning of ihsan and muhsin, kindness and the kind one. If you remember, these were also Both of these, we have learned, are instinctive reasons for love. When we receive kindness, or we learn about someone who is kind, then those are pathways to love. So it was about connecting these two words to remember and recognize that when we receive a favor, any comfort, any blessing, any good in this world, that it is ultimately from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and regardless of who delivers it to us, whoever delivers the ni'mah, whoever delivers that bounty to you, that who is the muhsin at the end of it, the bestower, the giver, the kind one, ultimately is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The intermediaries are like postmen delivering presents that were bought and that were wrapped and posted by someone else, the one who thought of you. The bounties we receive in this world are sent by Allah. He is the one who thought of you. And when did he think of you? He thought of you even before you came into existence. Think about that for a moment. Even before you existed, Allah thought of you. Think about that. That before he brought you into existence, he thought of you. Think about that. Allah is saying that this is Allah's kindness, is such that he thought about you before creating you. He had to think about creating you, and he created you. Given that kindness and that favor, as we have learned in previous lessons, these are strong reasons. The one who thinks about you, the one who sends kindness to you, the one who sends favors to you. So for that is sufficient a reason to love Allah. So much so that the Prophet prayed for that he should not receive, prayed, he made dua, he said that he didn't want to receive favors from wicked people, because that would cause his heart to love such people. So the point here is to establish a mental habit of connecting ni'mah with mun'im, always reflecting on Allah as the real source when the bounties we get in this world. Number three was to link our perception of beauty, which is another reason for love, linking our heart to the source of all beauty in the world. All beauty, anything that we perceive as beautiful. Beauty is, of course, in the eye of the believer, but the one who created the eye to behold, the one who created the cones in the eye, the one who created the optical nerve in the brain, the one who created the occipital lobe, and gave us the ability to perceive, he knows thoroughly what we will find beautiful and what we will find abhorrent and disgusting. When we look at the world around us, despite all the advancement in human creativity and artistic productions and creations, we still find that the most beautiful things in the world are not artifacts. They're not things created by human beings. The most beautiful things in the world are the things that were created by Allah. The beautiful rose, the symmetrical flowers, the blue sky, the tranquil lakes, the majestic mountains, the gorgeous valleys, the beautiful and handsome human beings. These will always remain at the top of the list of the most beautiful things in our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in hadith that inna Allah jamilun wa yuhibbul jamal, that Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. Now, we cannot see or imagine Allah, but through pondering his wondrous and beautiful creation, we can be sure in our hearts that the one who is responsible for creating such amazing beauty must be beautiful beyond all beauty. And in that, we find a powerful reason for love, a reason to love our Allah. And then the fourth point was that love can develop through affinity. We talked about affinity, the subtle relations, the connections of closeness. And in the hadith, well, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that inna Allah ta'ala qal, and this is hadith, but he's quoting, he's reporting from Allah what Allah says, man adali waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb, that whosoever declares war, whosoever shows enmity to a wali, a friend of mine, and Allah is is expressing friendship, closeness here, that I have declared war against such a person who has showed enmity towards my beloved. So someone I love, someone of a friend of mine, buddy. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه. That you will not get closer to Allah with anything more than that is more beloved. بشيء أحب, with something that is more beloved to me than that which I've made fard, that which I've made compulsory on you. ولا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه. But then my servant continues to draw near to me with nafil, with nawafil, with supererogatory, with extra things and extra deeds, until I love him. Hatta uhibbuhu, that Allah says that until I love him, until that I will, he will enter into my love. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ, and if I then love him, كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, and when I love him, he will draw near, and when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears, and his sight with which he sees, and his hands with which he strikes, and his foot with which he walks. And when he asks of me, I will surely give it to him. And were he to seek refuge with me, I would surely grant him refuge. So, وَيَدَهُلْ. Now, in other words, كُنْتُ سَمْعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ, I become his ears with which he hears. In other that the ears will only hear those things that pleases Allah. Entering into the love through fulfilling of the obligatory deeds, and then going further with extra deeds, doing more than the fard, doing more than the obligatory. Following the law to avoid difficulties in the akhirah is compulsory, but we need to go beyond. We need to seek extra, to bring more, to bring us into the love of Allah. So that was the fourth point. And then the fifth point was that the message in Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. That, O ye who believe, whosoever of you apostates, who leaves Islam, who leaves this religion, then you should know, certainly, presently, you should know that Allah will replace them. He will bring people who he shall love, يُحِبُّهُمْ, who he will love, and who shall love him, and وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. And the point we were drawing attention to here, the pertinent point here, is that leaving Islam is not primarily an intellectual problem, but a problem of heart, a problem in the heart, a problem of love. And the replacements for those who leave Islam will not suffer from this lack of love. So Allah is making it clear here that, look, He will love them. He will bring people who he will love, and who will love him. So the point was not, the point here was to note that whenever someone leaves Islam, Allah will always replace them, and that is bishara. That is glad tidings. It is good news, an uplifting piece of news, which is that no matter how many people leave Islam, Allah will always replace them. And this is particularly heartening for us in today's world, where every day we hear of Muslims being mistreated, abused, killed, massacred. News coming from all over the world, and with 24-hour news cycle, people can become disheartened. So it's important to note this, that look, that Allah will always replace Muslims on the face of the earth, on the face of the planet, until just before Qiyamah, just the last moments before Qiyamah, then everyone will be wiped out and only the wretched people will be left. But before that, we need to keep this fact in mind, because some people look at our situation today and become disheartened. And they feel that people are trying to get rid of the Muslims and eradicate Islam from the face of the earth. And it can sometimes seem, look like it may succeed, but we should be clear in our heart that this will never happen until, of course, the final hour. We should know that this is never, ever going to happen. Yes, we will have difficult times, dark times of trials and tribulation, but the morning light will always come again. And if you look at history, if Islam was to be wiped out off the planet, then it would have happened in many, many occasions before in history. It would have happened in the Battle of Badr. It would have happened in the Battle of Uhud. It would have happened in the onslaught of the Mughal and the Mongol invasions, where the devastation and the intimidation was such that a Mongol soldier would meet 100 Muslims in the street and say to them, "Wait here, I'm going to get my sword," and they would not move. They would wait for him. But what happened in the end? These same fierce Mongol warriors became defenders of Islam. These same people who wreaked havoc on Baghdad and all the other cities, Muslim cities that they've conquered and killed hundreds of thousands, they became defenders of Islam. And now today, I know of many descendants of those same Mongol warriors who are practicing Muslims, who love Allah and love his deed. So anywhere you look in history, you will see Islam surviving against all odds every time, even in terms of numbers. I mean, we can see this in that morning when an Israeli fundamentalist, a man called Goldstein, Mr. Goldstein, he went into the Ibrahimi Mosque, the Masjid of Ibrahim, where Ibrahim alayhi salam is supposed to be buried in Palestine. And he took a machine gun in there and killed 30 people while they were praying Fajr Salah. And a further 20 died later on in the day. So there were 50 Palestinian men were killed in one morning. And in that same morning, that same day, someone looked at the birth rate in the hospitals in Palestine, and they found that 50 babies were born. So even in terms of numbers, so if, yes, we're living in difficult times for what we see happening to Muslims, as in Palestine, in India, in China, and elsewhere, but we must never allow ourselves to become disheartened. And in this verse that we've read in Surah Al-Ma'idah, there's a reinforcement for us in this fact that Allah will replace, that we will protect his deen, that he has revealed his deen and he will protect it. With the mercy of Allah, we are an indomitable species. We're never going to become extinct until, as I said, until the very final hour, just before Yawm al-Qiyamah. And the key feature to look for is love for Allah. The replacements will always love Allah. You'll bring people who will love Allah. Now today I want to return to the discussion on niyyah, intention, because if you remember, a few lessons ago, we read about the misconceptions in the mind about niyyah, and this entire course that we are doing here is about niyyah. It is about the intention. When we started, if you remember, I spoke to you about the story of Imam Ghazali, when he was questioned about why he returned and if it was so bad that he left it, and if it was no good, why did he return? And he said, fa inna rujua audun ila ma kan. It's a return will be returning to what it was in the past. وَكُنْتُ فِي ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ. He said that وَكُنْتُ فِي ذَلِكَ الزَّمَانِ أَنْشُرُ الْعِلْمَ الَّذِي يُكْسَبُ الْجَاهِ. That I was spreading the knowledge through which you gain status and prestige. وَأَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ بِقَوْلِي وَعَمَلِي. That I was, that my speech and my actions were all about this. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ قَصْدِي. And that was my aim. And that وَنِيَّتِي. It was وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ قَصْدِي وَنِيَّتِي. That was my intention, that was my motivation, that was my intention, that to get status so that people can recognize me. And so that is what I left. وَأَمَّا الْآنَ, and he said, as for now, فَأَدْعُوا إِلَى الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي بِهِ يُتْرَكُ الْجَاهِ. But now I'm calling to the knowledge, إِلَى الْعِلْمِ الَّذِي بِهِ يُتْرَكُ الْجَاهِ. That the thing with which I'm calling to the knowledge through which you can abandon, through which the abandoning of status and position. وَيُعْرَفْ بِهِ سُقُوتَ رُتْبَةِ الْجَاهِ. And through it, you will recognize the lowliness of the station of position. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْآنْ نِيَّتِي. And this is my intention now. This is what I intend now. This is my intention. وَقَصْدِي. And my aim. وَأُمْنِيَتِي. And my wish. ويعلم الله ذلك مني. And Allah knows this from that. Allah knows that I am truthful in this. وأنا أبغي أن أصلح نفسي وغيري. And the reason I want to rectify myself and others. ولكني أؤمن إيمانا يقينا ومشاهدة. And I believe, but I have a strong belief in an iman that أنه لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. That there is no movement, and there is no power, there's nothing in this world except through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no power and there's no strength. وأني لم أتحرك ولكنه حركني. That I didn't move, but Allah moved me. Now, in this statement, there is a belief in Qadr. And one of the points we spoke about in our last session also was belief in Qadr, is that we should have a presence in the mind when we look at the world. Well, in fact, the ulama says that you should have, the ulama of Tarbiyah, that you should always have Qadrun, يرضى به في كل حين من أحواله. That on a continuous basis, whatever happens, the minute something has become past, then that is qadar Allah, that Allah has made it, so we should have rida with it. That so that Allah is the doer. So he says, أني لم أعمل ولكن الله استعملني. That I did not do, but Allah used me. فأسأله. So I'm asking him. So I'm begging him. I'm begging Allah أن يصلحني أولا. That he should rectify myself, it should rectify me first. ثُمَّ يُصْلِحُ بِي. And then through me, he may rectify others. وَيَهْدِينِي. And he should guide me. ثُمَّ يَهْدِي بِي. He should guide me, and through me, he should guide. وَأَنْ يُرِيَنِي الْحَقَّ حَقَّ. And that he should make apparent the truth as truth. وَيَرْزُقْنِي اتِّبَاعَ. And he should guide, it should give me, grant me the ability to follow the truth. ويرني الباطل باطلا. And he should show me the falsehood as falsehood. ويرزقني اجتنابا. And he should grant me the abstaining from it. So that was the core focus for this course. It was to recognize the importance of niyyah, of intention, and that a person can reach the highest levels of academic achievement in Islam and yet suffer from a very dangerous deficit and an illness that will undermine everything else. And that is why intention, focusing on learning about intention, is so important. Now, what we did first is that we looked at riya, because the scholars say that al-ikhlasu bi-mu'alajati riya. If you treat riya, then ikhlas will automatically come, because the thing that undermines sincerity is riya, is ostentation, it's showing, you're wanting to show. So what I want to do is to bring this back, go back to this, to start. We will read now from the chapters about niyyah, about intention, and starting with, of course, what Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says, bayanu anna niyyah taghayyara dakhilatan tahta al-ikhtiyar. Because he said, i'lam anna hunaka i'lam anna al-jahil anna al-jahila, that know that a ignorant person or a person of less knowledge may يسمع ما ذكرناه من الوصية بتحصيل النية وتكثيرها مع قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات. You may hear what we have said about the improving of niyyah, or intention, and the hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, where he said إنما الأعمال بالنيات. فيحدث نفسه بذلك فيقول في نفسه عند تدريسه. And then he says to himself that at the point of teaching, or at the point of doing a trade or something, or eating, he says, Nawaitu an udarrisa lillah, that okay, I make intention. That person says verbally, Nawaitu an udarrisa lillah, that I make intention to teach for Allah, or attajru lillah, or akulu lillah. وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ نِيَّةٌ وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ نِيَّةٌ, that he thinks that, he says this, you know, I I'm going to teach for the sake of Allah, and I'm doing this for the sake of Allah, I'm doing X and Y for the sake of Allah. And he thinks that that is niyyah. وَكَذَلِكَ كُلُّ حَرَكَةٍ وَسُكُونٍ وَحَرَكَاتٍ وَسَكَنَاتٍ all the various movement, everything that he does. وَهَيْهَاتَ فَذَلِكَ حَدِيثُ نَفْسٍ. And he's saying that, look, and this is completely at odds with what niyyah is. To say, to run these scripts on the tongue, or even in the mind, and most of us know, we are familiar with the fact that saying these things are perhaps not clear intention, but they're not proof of intention just by running these scripts on our tongue. But running them in the mind also is not proof of intention. Yes, it's good. You can run scripts in response to questioning of why am I doing this, but these are all fikrin. These are hadithu nafsin. He's saying Imam Ghazali is quoting this hadithu nafsin, that this is speaking to yourself, or hadithu lisan, you know, just oral pronouncements, but they're nothing. Fikrun aw fikr. He said it's thoughts. Intiqal min khatirin ila khat, from one thought, it's moving from one thought to another. وَالنِّيَّةُ بِمَعْزَلٍ عَنْ جَمِيعِ ذَلِكَ. And niyyah is completely different from all of this. Is completely separate from this whole idea of just running scripts. And mashallah, we have just completed a whole month of training for the heart in Ramadan. And so this is a good time for learning about the purity of intention and to focus on building habits correcting our intentions. Now, in order to lay the groundwork, I want to refresh our minds with some of the fada'il of niyyah, some of the virtues of niyyah, and reflect on how our predecessors, how the pious, the salaf as-salih, how they used to treat this matter of intention. So I'll start with a reflection on the role of sight in the corruption of ikhlas. So we will read that hadith. Because if you remember what I said about riya, that we dealt with riya first, because ikhlas is in treating, is in effective treatment, lies in effective treatment of riya. That is the thing that corrupts your intention. So riya. So the first hadith, qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna allaha la yanduru ila suwarikum wa amwalikum. That Allah does not look at your features and at your wealth. Wa innama yanduru ila qulubikum wa a'malikum. That he looks at your heart and your actions. Wa innama nadara ila al-qulubi li'annaha madinnatun niyyati. That he's looking at the heart. Imam Ghazali is explaining this. He says that the focus on the heart is because it is the place of niyyah. It is the place. So this idea of nadhara yanduru, that who is looking at me, these simulations that run in the mind, and we'll come back to this. I mean, I've spoken to you before about simulations, that our mind is active regularly with simulations about who is looking and who is observing us, and what are their reactions to what we are doing. And in fact, we are being trained on an active way. Before, in the olden days, these sort of behavior of actively seeking attention and seeking the nadhar, seeking the observing of people, of what you do, people were naturally inhibited to about these things. There was some degree of shame about this. You know, how can you be so ostentatious? You know, natural. There is a fitra inhibition to these things. But if you are involved in the kinds of activity that happens now on social media, then that inhibition gets worn away. That natural fitri inhibition about, you know, putting yourself on display and seeking it and looking for it. And, you know, we put a post and we check 15 times to see if anyone has given us a thumbs up and everyone has noticed us and we have done something. That whole process undermines that the natural, the fitri inhibition that's supposed to be in us, and the one that is supposed to draw our attention to nadrullah, that Allah's view of us. What is Allah saying? What is Allah seeing of us? Because He's seeing through and through. He's seeing into our hearts. He's seeing what we are doing. And so yanduri lil qudub. He looks at the heart. So that's the first thing. Then وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم إن العبد لا يعمل عملا حسنة, that a person may do a good deed, فتصعد بها الملائكة في صحف مختتم, that they seal a scroll and take it up, فتلقى بين يدي الله, and then it's placed before Allah, فيقول, and then Allah says ألقوا هذه الصحيفة, throw it away, فإنه لم يرد بها وجهي, that he did not do that good action that you saw. You saw, but I saw his heart. You saw him doing it, but I saw his heart. So, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُرِدْ, he did not want me. ثُمَّ يُنَادَ, يُنَادِي الْمَلَائِكَةَ, and then it may come that he may call he called the angels, so, that he did not seek my pleasure, so throw it away. ثُمَّ يُنَادِي الْمَلَائِكَةَ, but then Allah calls the angels, and أُكْتُبُ لَهُ كَذَا وَأُكْتُبُهُ لَهُ كَذَا, write that he has done this, and he has done X, and he's done why, he's done this and this. فَيَقُولُونَ, and then the angels will say, يَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ شَيْئًا مِنْ هَذَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ, that he did not do any of this. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّهُ نَوَاهَ إِنَّهُ نَوَاهَ, that he had made, he had a genuine intention for it. He had a genuine intention for this. So that is what the point, that when that Allah sees the heart, he sees the intention with which things are done. Well, في الحديث, وفي حديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من غزا وهو لا ينوي إلا إقالا فله ما نوى, that whoever goes into battle and all he seeks is a rope, just a rope around the head, then that is all he will get, nothing else, nothing else. وقال إني استعنت برجل, the Sahabi is reporting, he said that I sought the help of someone to help me. فقال لا حتى تجعل لي جعلا, that no, until you make a you promise me that you're going to give me something. فجعلته, so I promised him, I said, okay, well, I'll give you XYZ. فذكرت ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, so I mentioned this conversation to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and in response he said ليس له من دنياه وآخرته إلا ما جعلت له, that he has nothing of the dunya and of the akhirah except that which you have given to him. So finally helping you in the battle does not suffice if you have asked for something like that. وقد ورد في أخبار كثيرة, there are lots of reports, من هم بحسنة ولم يعملها كتب له حسنة, that whoever makes a firm intention of doing something and he did not manage to do it, then it will be written for him, he will get the reward for that thing. And then وفي الحديث الأحنف ابن أبي بكرة التقى المسلمان بسيفيهما, this hadith, the two people will meet, فالقاتل والمقتول في النار, the killer and the killed are both in the fire. So the people asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم that هذا القاتل فما بال المقتول, well, what about the one who was killed, and then he explained it's about the heart again, لأنه أراد قتل صاحبه, that he also wanted to kill his brother. So, وفي حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه من تزوج امرأة على صدق وهو لا ينوي أداءه, and this happens quite a lot, that people make large promises for the mahar when in marriage with the intention of not actually ever giving it, and in this hadith Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is making it clear that if you make a statement about giving a mahar of some X amount of money or something or gold or whatever in marriage, but the intention in the heart is never to fulfill it, then فَهُوَ زَانٍ, then that person will be indulged in zina. That's that, because the intention can ruin it. وَمَنْ إِدَّانَ دَيْنًا وَهُوَ لَا يَنْوِي قَضَاءُهُ فَهُوَ سَارِقٌ, that the one who takes a loan with the intention of not repaying it, then that person is also a thief. Yeah, so that's how dangerous the intention is. It can destroy what. فقد قال عمر بن الخطاب أفضل الأعمال أداء ما افترض الله تعالى والورع عما حرم وصدق النية فيما عند الله. The best of actions are to complete the fard, do the fard, and to have caution from what is Allah has rendered haram, and sidq al-niyya, to have true niyya, true intention in your heart. وكتب سالم بن عبد الله بن إلى عمر بن العبد أو عمر بن عبد العزيز رضي الله عنه قال اعلم أن عون الله تعالى للعبد على قدر النية. That the, he wrote this to Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. He's saying that the help of Allah is in proportion to the level of your niyyah, level of your intentions. فَمَنْ تَمَّ نِيَّتُهُ, and whoever's niyyah, whoever's intention is complete, whoever's intention is fortified and complete and pure, he said, تَمَّ عُونُ اللَّهِ, then the help of Allah will also be complete. وَإِن نَقَصَتْ نَقَصَتْ بِقَدْرِهِ, and the level of the impurity of the intention will dictate the level of the help that you will get from Allah. وقال بعض السلف رب عمل صغير تعظمه النية ورب عمل كبير تصغره النية. That perhaps a small deed, a need, a meager deed, a little something you might do, may become very great because of the niyyah. And sometimes a large, a great deed you may do may become small because of the niyyah, because of the intention. وقال داود الطائي من كان أكبر همته التقوى فلو تعلقت جميع جوارحه بالدنيا لردته نيته يوما إلى نية صالحة. That if a person's main objective in his heart, his main concern is taqwa and pleasing Allah and fearing Allah, then even if all his organs are connected with the dunya, his intention will bring him back to correct purpose, to correct focus. وكذلك الجاهل بعكس ذلك. But the ignorant one will be vice versa of that, the report that a person will do good deeds for a little while and then but then go back to seeking the dunya. وقال الثوري كانوا يتعلمون النية للعمل كما تتعلمون العمل. He's speaking about the first generation, that they used to learn niyyah, they used to study, learn it, go through processes of studying niyyah in the same way that you are learning how to do amal, how to do deeds. You know, we're learning to pray, learning to go to hajj, learning all these things. They used to learn kama, he's saying, كانوا يتعلمون النية للعمل. They used to learn the niyyah, learn how to configure a niyyah, what is niyyah, before they for the actions, just like you are learning amal, your a'mal. وقال بعض العلماء اطلب النية للعمل قبل العمل. That seek the intention for an action before the action. Seek an intention for the action before the action. وما دمت تنوي الخير فأنت بخير. That seek an intention, seek good intention for your actions before you actually do it. And as long as you are intending good, then you are in good, you are in khair. Allah, you are intending. فما دمت تنوي الخير فأنت بالخير. That as long as you are intending to do good, then you will be in khair. طيب, and 49. Okay, so it is for this reason. ولهذا امتنع جماعة من السلف من جملة من الطاعات. And it is for this reason that you will find that some of the people of the early generations, they withhold themselves, they refrain from certain good deeds because of niyyah. They islam tahdurhum niyyah. If and look at the language that is being used here. It's not that if they didn't make the niyyah, if they didn't make the intention. He's saying, that as long as the niyyah, the correct intention, did not present itself to them, did not formulate itself. So the niyyah did not come. So he's saying, فَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ ليس تحضرنا فيها نية فيه نية that the niyyah is not coming. I'm trying to do something but I didn't it's not coming. I'm not getting the pure intention because your intention can be corrupted. You know, a person you're trying to do something but then simulations form in the mind. So he's saying حتى إن ابن سيرين, ابن سيرين was great scholar and he said لم يصلي على جنازة حسن البصري. Imam, a great scholar, Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, passed away. And Ibn Sirin did not attend the janazah. And when he was asked about it, he said, لَيْسَ تَحْضُرُنِي النِّيَّةِ. I was waiting for the niyyah, the correct niyyah to come. Because all sorts of simulations come. And to get your niyyah pure, to get the pure niyyah, takes time. So he's saying, I didn't get it, so I didn't come. وَنَادَى بَعْضُهُمْ. And then he gives an example of that one of these great scholars, these pious people, called his wife and said, and bring the comb. نَادَى and هَاتِيَ الْمِدْرَى. فَقَالَتْ, and she said to him, أَجِيهُ بِالْمِرَاةِ, should I bring the mirror as well? And فَسَكَتَ سَاعَةً ثُمَّ, but then he didn't respond straight away. There was some quiet. And then he said, نَعَمْ, okay, bring it. فقيل له في ذلك. So then she asked, you know, they asked about, well, why did you say? He said, كان لي في المدرة نية, that I had an intention with the comb. I had a good intention, you know, maybe that I'll comb my hair nicely and I will stand and pray and I will get, but then he said, لم تحضرني في المدرة نية. But then I started to try and formulate. I started to wait for the correct intention of the niya. So that's why I didn't, that's the reason I didn't call you, I didn't respond straight away. فتوقفت حتى هيأ, and then he puts it back to Allah. Listen to this. He said, فتوقفت. So I waited. I stopped. حتى هيأها الله تعالى. Until Allah created this, put this in my heart. Give me the ability. Then remember what Imam Ghazali is saying, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العظيم. That this comes from Allah, and you have to put your heart, focus your heart and your whole mind towards Allah. Oh Allah, help me with this niyyah. So, and then Allah prepared it for him. And he said, مات حماد بن أبي سلمة أبي سليمان وكان أحد العلماء أهل كوفة فقيل للثوري ألا تشهد جنازته. That حماد بن أبي سليمان, great scholar, he passed away in Kufa, and then Imam Thawri was to ask, are you not going to his janazah? فقال لو كان لي نية لفعلت. That if I had the correct niyyah, then I will go. وكانوا إذا سئلوا عملا, إذا سئلوا عملا من أعمال البر, and were asked, they were such people that if they were ever asked to do something good, قالوا, they used to, the response used to be, إن رزقنا الله تعالى نية فعلنا. That if Allah has given us the correct intention, then we will do it. We will do. We will go and we will proceed with it. وكان طاووس لا يتحدث إلا بنية. And another scholar, great scholar, he used to say, he did not speak without niya. وكان يسأل عن أن يحدث فلا يحدث. People ask him questions, he never used to give answers. ولا يسأل فيبتدئ. And then sometimes he would just start speaking and without anyone questioning him all of a sudden, randomly, and then people will say, well, أفتحبون, and then when they ask, why did you do this? He says, أفتحبون أن أحدث بغير نية. But did you want me to speak without niya? That yes, you come up and ask me, but I didn't have the correct niya. Yeah, it was all clouded then. I had loads of simulations going on in my mind. قدرتني نية ففعلت. وحقي أن داود ابن المحبر, داود ابن المحبر لما صنف كتابه العقل. This is a scholar, a Tarbiyah scholar, but who was some people tried to say that he was a wadda', a fabricator, but that's not true. Imam Hafiz ibn Hajar makes it clear. He said that laysa bikaddabin, that this person is not a liar. But anyway, he wrote a book of Tarbiyah. And if you remember when I spoke to you, I gave you that bite-sized bit on hadith, on our approach to hadith in general, and about this idea about the levels of hadith and going into the forensics. This story is, this conversation here is relevant to that. جاء أحمد بن حنبل, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, who's the head of the the Hanbali school, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. فطلبه منه. So he came to this scholar, to Dawood ibn al-Muhabbar, and he asked him, he said, can I have the book? So he took it, فَتَصَفَّحَ فِيهِ. So then he skimmed through it, and then he noticed a few things, and he gave it back, فَرُدَّهُ. He returned it to him, فَقَالَ مَا لَكَ. So then Imam Dawood said to him, that why did you return it? You haven't read much of it, you know, why are you returning it so quickly? قال فيه أسانيد ضعيف. He said that there, I saw a weak chain in it. يعني a weak hadith. The chain of one of the hadith, I saw it's weak. فقال له داود, and then Imam Dawood said to him, this scholar said to him, أنا لم أخرجه على الأسانيد فأنظر فيه بعين الخبر. He said, I did not write this book to take it out from the perspective of a hadith forensic. And this is the important thing. بِعَيْنِ الْخُبَرُ. I did not write this book. The purpose of this book, the perspective and the niyyah of this book is not about hadith forensics. إِنَّمَا نَظَرْتُ فِيهِ بِعَيْنِ الْعَمَلِ. That my approach to this is amal. It's for actions and for helping people with their deen and to helping to increase your iman and to help you with niyyah, to help you with your mind. This is what this is. So upon hearing this, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal said to him, رُدُّهُ عَلَيَّ, give me it again. حَتَّى أَنظُرَ فِيهِ بِالْعَيْنِ الَّتِي نَظَرْتَ, so that I can look at it from the perspective from which you have just explained. This is Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is saying this. He's saying that I can look at it from the perspective from which you have seen it. فَأَخَذَهُ مِنْهُ وَمَكَثَ عِنْدَهُ طَوِيلًا وَمَكَثَ عِنْدَهُ طَوِيلًا. And then he took the book and read it thoroughly for a long time. ثُمَّ قَالَ جَزَاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. Then he said to him, may Allah reward you with khair, with good, with abundance of good. فَقَدْ إِنْتَفَعْتُ بِهِ, that I've got a lot of benefit out of it. فَقَدْ إِنْتَفَعْتُ بِهِ, it's benefited me. So this is the point. This is the point here. The point is that you should, that hadith forensic, if you become a hadith forensic, if you apply hadith forensic all the time, then it can sometimes, it can become excessive. This is not to say that we accept every hadith and even the fabricated reports. This is not to say that, but we should not be walking around with that when we're dealing with tarbiyah, because the scholars have lowered the bar when it comes to this in tarbiyah. Another report here. وَقِيلَ لِتَعُوسُ عُدْعُ لَنَا فَقَالْ حَتَّى أَجِدَ لَهُ نِيَةٌ. He said, call for me. He said to him that, you know, make dua. He said, yes, I will. But when I get the intention, if I get the correct intention, inshallah, I will. وَقَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَنَا فِي طَلَبِ نِيَةٍ لِعَادَةِ رَجُلٍ مُنْدُ شَهْرٍ فَمَا صَحَّتْ لِي, that I have been seeking the correct intention to visit a sick person for over a month now, and I've not got the correct intention. Now, what does this mean? This means that this person is saying, look, I want to go. I want to go and visit this person, which is a sunnah, is something you get a lot of reward, and it's important to do when your brother is sick, to go and visit them, and you know, especially if it's not coronavirus, but and generally here, this is when a person is ill, you visit them. Now, here, this person is saying that I, for a whole month now, I've been trying to get the good. So what is it that corrupts the intention? It's the simulations. That, look, I'm going to go there, and there people are going to see that I visit. They're going to think that I'm happy, that I'm a pious person. His family might give me food. I might increase in status by people thinking, oh, he goes and visits sick. He's X, Y, and Z. All those simulations, all the things of nadhar, who is looking? So when the observer idea, when the observer phenomena is completely cleared and only Allah is there, that is what you have for niyyah. He said that you have to go there. So he says, "Ana fi talabi niyyatin," a whole month I've been trying to deal with this, to get these simulations out, and they haven't come yet. وقال عيسى بن كثير: مشيت مع ميمون بن مهران فلما انتهى إلى باب داره انصرفت. فقال له ابنه, he said that I was walking with ميمون بن مهران and when we reached his house I turned around and went back. So his son said to him, ألا تعرض عليه العشاء, why aren't you inviting him for dinner? And he says, ليس من نيتي, I didn't have a niyyah for this. I don't have the correct niyyah. وهذا لأن النية تتبع النظر. فإذا تغير النظر تغيرت النية. So this is what this is. He's saying that the niyyah, the intention, it follows the perspective for which you are dealing with the thing. فإذا تغير النية, if the perspective, if the position, the goal, the motivation in it changes, then تغير, then the niyyah changes. وكانوا لا يرون أن يعملوا عملا إلا بنية. And they used to think, the first generation, they didn't do actions, they didn't do things, they didn't approach things, unless they had the niyyah. لعلمهم بأن النية روح العمل, because they had it firmly ingrained in them that niyyah, intention, is the soul of actions. It is the soul. Without the soul, the action is dead. So he says, وأن العمل بغير نية صادقة رياء وتكلف, because, and they also knew that an action without niyyah, without the correct niyyah, will be riya, will be ostentation, will be showing off, will be putting yourself on display, or watakalluf, and it will be burdening yourself unnecessarily. وهو سببه, and for that becomes a sabab, that becomes a reason for displeasure, not for qurb, not for closeness to Allah, but for displeasure. يجري مجرى الفتوح. So he said, بل هو انبعاث القلب. So he's saying that, look, وعلموا أن النية ليست هي قول القائل بلسانه نويت. And they knew, they understood this thoroughly, that نية, intention, was not the speech of someone saying, oh, نويت كذا وكذا, oh, I've made intention of so and so. No, it wasn't that. بل هو انبعاث القلب, it is a motivation in the heart. يجري مجرى الفتوح من الله, that comes from the flowing of openings in the heart that Allah gives and you come from. فَقَدْ تَتَيَسَّرْ فِي بَعْضِ الْأَوْقَاتِ وَقَدْ تَتَعَذَّرْ فِي بَعْضِهَا. And it may come at sometimes and sometimes it may not. نعم, مَنْ كَانَ الْغَالِبُ عَلَى قَلْبِهِ أَمْرِ الدِّينِ, the one who has deen, who has Islam, who has deen as a dominant concern in their minds, for that person, تَيَسَّرَ عَلَيْهِ فِي أَكْثَرِ الْأَحْوَالِ إحضار النية للخيرات, that in most cases the niyyah will come, it will be easy for the niyyah to arrive in the heart that is, that has deen, that has Islam, that has Allah, that has the fikr of deen in their minds. That person's heart will be easier, it will tayassar, it will become easier for khayrat to come in the heart. فإن قلبه مائل بالجملة إلى أصل الخير, because his heart is that person whose dominant concern and occupation in the mind is Islam, is in pleasing Allah, then that person will have khair in their mind, the khair in their heart, the heart will be filled with khair. فينبعث إلى التفاصيل قابل, so that though that khair that is in the heart of the global intention in the person's mind will facilitate detailed intentions as well. وَمَنْ مَالَ قَلْبُهُ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَغَلَبَتْ عَلَيْهِ. But on the reverse, if a person's main concern is dunya and he's just using deen, or she's just using deen, whoever is just using deen to raise in the status of the dunya and to show me, just see how powerful I am, how intelligent I am, how pious I am, how great I am. If that is there for the dunya, then لم يتيسر له, then the correct niyyah will not come. It will not be there. بل لا يتيسر له في الفرائض إلا بجهد الجهيد. That even sometimes the correct intention for such a person will be difficult for even the fard, even in the obligatory things. وغايته أن يتذكر النار. And the real thing that we should keep in mind here is that you should remember the fire and remember the fire. Ultimately, that is where the journey ends, either to the fire or to Jahannam, or to Jannah. Jahannam or Jannah. So, لم يترصد. So, يتذكر, you keep whenever these simulations and all these other things come to corrupt your intention, then remember the fire. أو نعيم الجنة ويرغب نفسه فيها, the bounties of Jannah, and encourage the nafs, encourage the Lord, the self, for that, for to seeking that, what is with Allah, not what is with people. أو نعيم الجنة فربما تنبعث له داعية ضعيفة, and then maybe through that, a weak motivation will start to develop. فَيَكُونُ ثَوَابُهُ بِقَدْرِ رَغْبَتِهِ وَنِيَّتِهِ, and then his reward will be according to the level of that intention, how pure it is, how clear it is, how safe it is from simulations of other observances. So we've gone over our time. Inshallah, we will continue next week on the topic of niyyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all with focusing and thinking about this. This is a immensely important topic. So for that, inshallah, for those of you who have not listened to the entire series, I would strongly urge to go back and try and even for those of you who have listened to it, there's a lot of dense material in these presentations, and it'll be good to do revisions on a regular basis so that it sticks in the mind, because we're living in times where the mind is cluttered. I don't have to explain to you the level of clutter that is ongoing. People are in a state of dizzy mental clutter. So for clarity in the mind, and especially about something as important as this, you need to have repeated instances of it so that it sticks out and it raises to a level of your consciousness that will then dominate or overpower the other influences and clutter. Okay, let's pray. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidun Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك, ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك, ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا, واجعله الوارث منا, واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم انصرنا على من عادانا, ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا, ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم واغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات, وألف بين قلوبهم, وأصلح ذات بينهم, وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم. اللهم ولا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته, ولا همّا إلا فرجته, ولا كربا إلا نفسته, ولا ميتا من المسلمين إلا رحمته, ولا مريضا إلا شفيته, ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا عنتنا على قضائها ويسرتها يا ربي يا كريم. اللهم أنت ربنا لا إله إلا أنت, خلقتنا ونحن عبادك, ونحن على عهدك ووعدك ما استطعنا. نعوذ بك من شر ما صنعنا, ونبوء لك بذنوبنا, فاغفر لنا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين آمين يا رب العالمين. طيب, جزاكم الله خيرا, والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.